I've been saying it kind of like I'm depressed or something, so I've been trying to do it a little bit better. I'm not depressed about nothing. I got to be honest, they really have made some snide comments about how I look into the camera, and that kind of discouraged me from being over enthusiastic. So, when you get criticized sometimes, you get a little self-conscious. And that's not like me. I'm not self-conscious about a whole lot of anything. But they managed to make me that way. All right, Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Today's lesson will be at least the beginning of, we're going to go through the occasion of Jonah's prayer. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. I find it interesting that this is actually the first time you find Jonah praying up to this point in the narrative. He was not found praying when he boarded the ship to Tarshish. He didn't ask if the Lord approved of him going to Tarshish. You know why he didn't ask that? Because he knew he was wrong. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I'm going to Tarshish. He didn't pray about that. Nor did he pray when the mariners told him to call upon his God. Jonah the prophet had evidently gotten out of the habit of prayer. And I'm going to tell you a secret about prayer. If you've got unconfessed sin in your heart, you know what happens to you? I know this from experience. You feel guilty. You get convicted. And you don't feel like the Lord's going to listen to you anyway. And you neglect. And that's the worst thing to do. Even if you've got sin that is grieving and troubling you, go to God with it. Ask Him, confess it. Ask Him to forgive it. Ask Him to give you grace not to do it again. But don't forsake the prayer closet. He had gotten out of the habit of prayer. Maybe he felt guilty. Felt like he wasn't worthy. And in reality, we're not worthy to come into the throne of grace, but Christ makes us worthy. And by authority of His name, by the power of His grace, isn't it an amazing thing that sinners like us can address the Most High God, the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Sovereign One, the One that directs all the affairs of this entire universe, has time and a hearing ear for you and I. Jonah forgot that. Be sure when you forsake the prayer closet, it won't be long before you're going to go on a downward course, much like Jonah. He kept going farther and farther and farther away from where he was supposed to be. He was in a backslidden state of disobedience. He had rebelled against God. So it was not until Jonah was in the belly of the great fish That we finally hear his prayer. He finally lifted up his voice to God in prayer. It seems as though difficulties and troubles have a way of getting us back into the habit of prayer. Often when our way is prosperous, when things are going great, we tend to get lax in prayer. Or we lose our earnestness in prayer. It's in the valleys of life that we seem to pray more fervently and frequently to our great God. And the Bible bears this out. Hosea 5:15 says, "In their affliction, they will seek me early." Isaiah 26:16, "The Lord in trouble, or Lord in trouble, have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them." Now sadly, there are times that people only pray when they're in trouble, or when they're under the chastening hand of God. Whatever the case, one thing is for certain. If you and I are failing to pray, what is prayer? It's just talking to God. It doesn't even have to be with words coming out of your mouth. It can come from your heart. Anywhere, anytime. When you're driving. When you're doing dishes. When you're working the garden. Say, well, while I'm working it, you can still be praying. Prayer can be offered anywhere at any time. But if you're failing to prayer, if you're failing to pray, let me guarantee you something. The chastening hand of God won't be far away. Because God loves you. He wants you to communicate with Him. He's communicated to you in a great and powerful way. This is God's Word. He's gone to great lengths to inspire it, raise up men to write it, preserve it, and even allows us to read it in our own language. And I'd be lost mentally and emotionally and intellectually if I had to read the Bible in Greek, in the New Testament in Greek, the Old Testament in Hebrew, and Aramaic. I'd be lost. I wouldn't be able to understand a word of it. But how thankful I am. I've got a Bible that I can open up and read in my own language. What a blessing that is. God has preserved His Word for our benefit. This is how He communicates to us. Through His Word and the teaching ministry of His Spirit. And we're to communicate with Him. "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Jesus told the disciples, men ought always to pray and not to faint. One of the most famous passages of Scripture is the model prayer. When they asked, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus began to teach them a structure. It's not as though you're just supposed to repeat that model prayer, but that's a good structure, a good outline of how we are to address God. Prayer is very important. Adversity and afflictions have a way of softening the heart and causing us to remember our God. God can make the hard heart of steel pass through the fiery furnace of affliction to bend us and shape us according to His will. God can plow up the hard soil of our heart so that it can once again receive and obey His commands. So God does use chastening, adversity, afflictions, and troubles to cause us to cast ourselves entirely upon Him and seek His face for grace and help in time of need. Now, if you want a test case of somebody who was way out of fellowship with God, you got it right here. He was as far away as you could get. He's on the bottom of the ocean floor, in the belly of a whale with all its gastric juices. I mean, this guy is in trouble. And he prayed. Jonah is found praying in the belly of a whale, which proves that prayers can be lifted up by the people of God at any time and anywhere. Church buildings, chapels, cathedrals are not necessary for prayer to be offered effectually. God's people can lift up their hearts in prayer wherever, whenever. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, the occasion of Jonah's prayer, it was offered with great distress of heart. In the midst of heavy affliction, you find him lifting up his voice in prayer. The circumstances that Jonah found himself in really were quite unfavorable to the exercise of prayer. It'd be a whole lot nicer if he just was praying at his kitchen table. No. He had to keep going on the path of disobedience, and now his prayer has to be offered in probably the worst place he'd ever prayed. Yet in spite of his circumstances and surroundings, Jonah is confident that God is hearing his prayer. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Now, what a joy to have that kind of confidence in a prayer-hearing God. Even in the midst of the most adverse circumstances, this backslidden prophet had faith that God was listening to his prayers. And I have to believe that Jonah at this juncture found some comfort in knowing that a loving God was attending to his prayers and was listening to his requests. And again, I reiterate, so often when we get into a backslidden state of disobedience, we feel so guilty, we don't feel like we can even pray. I think Jonah he'd taken some steps toward the right thing to do. And almost like this was his last resort. But again, when you're out of fellowship, that's the time when you need to seek the Lord the most. That's the time to run to God. That's the time to seek refuge in the secret place of the Most High. Now again, it's important to understand who Jonah was praying to. He prayed unto the Lord, Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. He did not address his request to Mary. In fact, you won't find that anywhere in the Bible where people prayed for Mary to answer their prayers. That's a heresy. He didn't pray to departed saints. He didn't pray to human mediators or priests. He went directly to God. I think this is really important. When trouble comes, go to the Lord. I think it's good to seek the advice of men and women, trusted friends. But go to God first. Go to Him with your burden. Because you're going to find out that He is the one that can minister to you in grace and help you in the time of need. It's always best for the saints of God to flee to the safe refuge of a prayer-hearing God in times of trouble. So often we're prone to seek the counsel and the advice of men when we ought to be seeking the face of God, who is the greatest and wisest of all counselors. In fact, Jesus Christ, one of His names in Isaiah, when it was the prophecy surrounding Him, let me get back here. It's either in Isaiah 7 or 9. I think it's in Isaiah 9. I've never had one of those Bibles where all the books of the Bible are laid out there, where you just flip to that thing. I probably should get one, but I've always thought if preachers can't flip, if they can't do their sword drills, then they're pretty bad shape. All right, here it is. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. In times of trouble, go to the King. He's the greatest counselor there is. And Jonah did that. The belly of the whale must have seemed like hell to Jonah. I read one commentator, and he made a compelling case. John G. Butler, it's a new commentary I have on Jonah. And he's excellent on so many things. He believed that Jonah was literally dead and raised back to life. That he went to a watery grave and then was raised alive. But it seems to me that Jonah was living and conscious when he uttered this prayer from the fish's belly. Brother Cockrell, Milburn Cockrell, he did a series on Jonah back in the 80s. I'm sure you guys remember those articles. I've got them. In fact, you can go on to BereaBaptistBanner.org, I think, and you can go back to old banners. Just like with our website, you can go back to old Baptist Examiners, all the way back to what, 1931, Joe? Something like that? Here's what Brother Cockrell wrote, and I agree with him. Jonah's voice was heard from the whale's belly. While in this place, he retained the power of speech. He was not dead, nor in a trance, nor in a passive state of helplessness. He was a living, conscious, active soul. He was very much alive. All the powers of his being were employed in supplication to God. The Lord had not ceased to be his God, even though Jonah had momentarily ceased to be his servant. The prophet cried out of the depths of disobedience, and his prayer reached to the highest heaven. Thou heardest my voice. We're going to stop at verse 3. We'll pick up next week. We're dismissed.